Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today, we're talking about solar panels. We just got some installed in our house, so we're going to go through the physics of how they work, what actually happens when you put them on your home, and whether solar panels are going to save the planet.
Save our dun, dun, dun. Planet. Was that a harmony?
Maybe. Let's do it again. I mean, yeah, I guess two notes is technically a harmony. Regardless.
All two notes? No, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
every single note, but can it be wrong?
There's no such thing as wrong, Greg. That is like, you know, a perspective on music. Some people love dissonance. Dissonance can create an emotion, create a feeling. You know, it is not wrong if it's your intention.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
And so is art. And so is music. All those things. It's like, that is still a harmony.
Know what? Sucks. Science. We are a beauty and art podcast. I'm kidding.
No, science is art is amazing. Science
can explain art sometimes, like how your eyes work and like complementary colors. There's a reason they work well together.
Totally. And art, I think, inspires even science. Right? Like there's so many parts of culture that are created through art that inspire scientists to explore. Art gives us the imagination with which through we explore the universe.
And I do think solar panels kind of are an art.
And Lorde's new album, Solar
Power.
Okay, honest review.
Wow.
I know that's your other podcast technically, but I'm...
Yeah. Subscribe to Can I Speak to the Manager podcast to hear me talk about people's careers I want to manage. We did Lorde recently.
Okay, I'll collect that check for the free promo after the show.
slip you a $5 bill. When I heard the solar power, I love Lorde. That Lorde with an E is the Lorde that I praise. And I heard solar power and I was like, does it? And then I heard...
You were like, what?
Like, that's it.
Oh,
like,
that's it.
That's it. And then I heard Stoned at the Nail Salon and I was like, that's it. And then I heard Mood Ring and I was like, what? And then I heard the album and I fell absolutely in love. I'm obsessed with Mood Ring now. I didn't really fall in love with Solar Power, but I love Fallen Fruit. I freaking love The Path. I danced yesterday. I turned off Just Dance and just danced to Lorde and got my, what do drag queens say? I felt my biscuits or whatever. Felt my oats, my barley. Oats.
Yeah, not my
felt
biscuits.
My flaxseed. So I'm like, honestly, I'm up to 8 to 9 out of 10.
Of an album.
For Solar Power by Lorde.
Okay, you heard it here first, folks. Or wait, did you already do Lord, I don't listen to your podcast. I'm sorry.
Such a drag.
No, it's not. I don't listen to any podcast, even our own.
Okay, wow. Mitchell.
I don't have time.
Okay, well, let's get into what we learned this week.
Okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Drag me to the core of thine earth.
No, it's
my,
no offense.
My other podcast is so fun. And sometimes I'm like, you should listen to it because you're like, you'll be like, who's Rita Ora? I'm like, I have a podcast.
No one
where
knows who Rita Ora is.
Study her and decide what she should do to come back.
No one knows Rita Ora. That is a bad example. You even know my favorite podcast I rarely listen to. I'm like literally 7 or 8 episodes behind on Poog.
Okay, true.
I haven't Everyone listened all summer. Okay. I'm going to go first because we are sitting and mine is about sitting and how it kills you.
Oh God, not this again.
So we're all probably sitting, listening to this. Maybe some of you are on a run and that's amazing. If you can listen to a podcast while you're on a run,
Listen to podcasts while running. Also while doing
do you
dishes.
Actually?
Actually, listen to podcasts
well, dishes
mostly
is not that
sitting.
Dishes is not that surprising. I meant I would feel a lot of people use music to run with.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I don't think I listen to podcasts sitting down that often, except in a car.
In a car is what I was picturing.
Continue.
I have a friend. She might be listening to this. She used to not realize you could get podcasts not on your computer. So she would literally download them on her desktop.
And stare
and
at
sit
it.
Sit there.
And listen.
Jess, this is for you.
As if it was the 1930s and they were sitting around like
a radio.
A weird radio that looked like a horn.
Okay. So about sitting. So you know how we even have a video on the detriments of sitting and how it impacts your health. Studies have found it can damage your heart, your brain, increase risk of most causes of death. So sitting for extended periods of time is not healthy. And that's not a drag or a read because we are constantly sitting. So I'm always thinking about this. And we have some videos about even just standing up and movement and how that plays a role. But a new study came out, a meta-analysis, that found out a way you can offset this. So they looked at over 44,000 people and I think 9 different studies. And the question was, for people who have a very sedentary life like us, so if you sit in an office all day, is there, what if you're active outside of that sedentary life?
Yeah.
Right? Because some people are not necessarily super active, but they might be in a job like being a teacher where you're standing all day, you're moving around. And so the question is, can you counterbalance a life of sitting down? Does the question make sense?
Yeah, like if I go for a run in the morning, does that counterbalance the fact that I sit all day?
Yeah, or are you just screwed because you sit all day? So people who aren't necessarily super active but are not sedentary are typically healthier.
So teachers, healthcare workers,
if you work
on their feet.
If you work on your feet and you're not sitting all day, you're generally healthier than somebody who's sitting. But the research found that if you sit for 10 hours a day, doing moderate to intense physical activity for around 30 to 40 minutes a day is enough to counteract it.
I just got a semi-hard chub chub in my pants.
So when
I feel like I do that,
when
that's all
like
I need.
People
to
like
hear.
Us do that, your risk of death becomes about the same as somebody who does not have a sedentary lifestyle, but
like
does not
a healthcare worker, teacher.
Yeah, but who does not necessarily work out for 30 to 40 minutes.
So
a day.
You work out to 34 minutes a day, sit for 10 hours, is similar to teacher who's always on their feet.
Correct.
Who doesn't work out
in terms of like risk of body and health issues.
And you know, it is a science study. There's obviously lots of parameters. Although that was a lot of people.
It was a meta-analysis.
That's our favorite. That's a favorite.
That's the best
Any
word to hear.
Science communicators going to be like, well, it's a meta-analysis. That's an analysis of many studies, if you must know what that is.
So anyway, we sit too much and we need to counteract it. It said moderate to intense exercise. So they ultimately were like, you need to be sweating.
Okay, cool. Cool. I'm going to keep running. Okay. There is a storm coming.
Is it really?
Yeah, it'll be really
Storms
cool.
Storms are coming, Annie. Name that movie.
Annie.
No, you can't. It's Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't. I'm like, Annie, you gave it away. Storms are coming, Annie.
Okay, what'd you learn?
So mine actually relates a little bit to solar panels because now that we have solar panels on our roof, I'm becoming sort of a little bit like obsessed with like, how the heck does this work? Because all of the power in our house, we'll get to it in detail later, is coming from like these weird like glass things. And it's just like so interesting. And we've learned a lot about electricity this summer for the show that we're making. And it's just like electricity's so freaking confusing, but so freaking cool.
Yeah.
And so this is a study I read that I'm like, I finally think I kind of understand it. And I probably won't even be able to explain it to you properly because it's so confusing. But
great.
Scientists recently created thermoelectric 3D printed ink.
Thermoelectric 3D printed ink. Okay. As yes. in they could maybe 3D print solar panels.
Okay. So what they're thinking is they could 3D print this ink on the exhaust pipe of gasoline cars that could create
thermoelectric.
Yeah. So it's thermoelectric and they could put them in chimneys and like factory chimneys. And
it's like all those chimneys.
No, like
I guess people still
in
use
the
chimneys.
Mitigating the climate crisis where there's still all these annoying factories that are still happening. Like there's a way that we can actually coat any place where there's a lot of heat with this ink to create a bunch of extra electricity. Mm-hmm. And essentially thermoelectricity is so weird. And I learned about this on our show, which is that like the gradient of heat moving from a hot place to a cold place, depending on if it's like made of semiconductors, like certain substances, can actually push electrons in one direction and create electricity.
Oh my God. Right. So just the movement of heat, if we can capitalize on the fact that heat exists in higher quantities in some places, they think they might as well use it.
Then you might as well be using it for electricity. But it's like always been really confusing because like it needs to happen on a small scale. And so this 3D printed ink is like essentially just like 1.4 millimeter columns is kind of what it ends up being. Mm-hmm. It's made of tellurium and lead. Those are your like semiconductors attached to silicon. Cause like, as we get to solar panels, silicones, the boss of all this stuff is essentially just sand that's like melted. But anyways, so like if you can create these sort of semiconductors in these specific columns, you can actually get this electricity just from the fact that there's like intense heat coming out of a certain place. And the cold side is just like the opposite side of it. But the other reason they think this is important is for the future when we're all using like wearable technology, this could mitigate the use of batteries and essentially like sensors and things that they think are going to be a big part of like wearables. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even need a battery. You could just use because these.
Your body heat?
This would actually be the heat of being outside.
Oh, okay.
Mixed with your body heat or your body. Like it would depend on if it was really hot or really cold. Like
so
if it was
using
Canada in
that
the winter,
as a source of energy as opposed to needing batteries.
Even batteries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I know. It's all very new. It came out like literally days ago, but I was just like obsessed.
What does it mean it came out? Like a study on
it? Like the proof of research.
They haven't like released this substance into the world.
No, but there's like a company in Germany that's going to start like producing it
as like a consumer product potential or probably like
for
companies or producing it for
some giant company. Right.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's so I want to like look back 10 years ago and like think about the things that we heard would happen and see if they've come along. I'm so curious how long a technology like that takes to get into like circulation of consumer products.
Or if it ever even will, right? Like
some things come and go and other techs come along and that are way more efficient or just smarter.
Like
that
the semiconductor columns might be what the science leads to something else. Even wearable technology, I'm just like, when's that happening? Because like everyone's been talking about it for years.
People pretend it is already happening. They're like, my Apple Watch, it can catch my heartbeat. Like,
I mean, I guess that's actually kind of true.
No, it is. I actually want that.
Oh,
But then I just read how they're actually like not that accurate. It's like if you buy a bunch of them, maybe we can make a video on this, and they all track differently. Like you can test them and discrepancies. Obviously, they're not so wrong, but even with step counters, like different ones they're guesstimating how far you're walking, right? So
my Apple Watch would
still
not
useful
know
as a reference point, I think.
What I was doing for Just Dance, I'd be like, this guy's flailing everywhere. And
oh,
dying.
True. But your heart rate, it would catch your heart rate and be like, okay, you're working out.
Speaking of wearables, though, we're getting solar panels. There's like a very popular thing in
China.
And we're
going to wear them.
What?
I was like, and we're going to wear them.
What?
You said, speaking of wearables, we got solar panels.
No, you didn't let me finish.
Oh.
No, I'm saying in China, it's very popular to be using umbrellas during the day that are solar panels that hook up to your phone to charge your phone. Like, because of the heat that people want to hide from the sun, there's a really popular company, I forgot what it's called, that makes umbrellas of solar panels that then charge their phone.
Cool.
So that's like a wearable, isn't it?
That doesn't seem wearable to me.
Oh, because it's just like every once in a while you hold. What
sounds
is a wearable?
More like a holdable.
Oh, so wearable to you has to be like in your skin.
Yeah, it's got to be on you.
Oh, I was picturing clothes.
That's wearable.
Yeah, so is an umbrella not count?
Would you call an umbrella clothes?
I mean,
it's an accessory, but like a watch is a wearable. Glasses are a wearable.
Apparently, you're considered a cyborg if you use a hammer. Because it's like
an
extension of your hand.
Cool. All right. We'll take a little break and then we're going to talk about solar power.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. We are obsessed with BetterHelp because we are obsessed with therapy. We are constantly, I know, bringing it up on this podcast, bringing it up in our lives. Every conversation with my friends, I'm like, well, you know, in therapy, I learned this. Ding! So today, we want to talk about BetterHelp because BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with in under 48 hours. The counseling is done online. It's secure. It's available worldwide across the dang globe. And you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. You don't have to worry about lines or commuting or when sitting in the waiting room or like having to wear a mask in the waiting room, for example. But you can log on to your computer or your phone or account anytime, anywhere, and send a message to your counselor and get timely and thoughtful responses. It just makes therapy easier, essentially. BetterHelp lets you change counselors at any time, so you'll always get a great therapeutic match, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling with financial aid available. Head to betterhelp.com/sidenote to get 10% off your first month. This also helps our show by doing this and showing that, you know, you listen to us and like you want to join therapy. And you can join over a million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. Again, that's betterhelp.com/sidenote for 10% off your first month.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time.
So.
We already did that.
Polar panels.
Panels. Damn it.
We just got solar panels and they officially are finally hooked up and our house is off the grid.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
It feels, that's why I wanted to do this episode because I'm like, it feels too good to be true. Like, or it's just like,
it's wild.
The light that's coming on my face right now is from the sun's power. Okay.
I mean, it's okay. Actually, it is. It's a little confusing and misleading because obviously in a big city, you tie into a grid and you give power to that grid. Any power we're using while the solar is, like while the sun's hitting the solar, and if we have lights on or anything, it will automatically use that. But any extra goes to the city and then we still are pulling from the grid.
To and to the battery.
Power. What?
And to the battery at the side of our house.
That's not a battery.
What?
No, we don't. There's no battery.
Wait, so at night what happens?
We're running off the city's power.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I thought that was a battery. Was that big giant thing beside us?
That's just how it calibrates like,
oh
the
my
information.
God. Okay, wow. So you're learning
luckily
in real time what is going on. Wait, so at night we're, oh, but, okay, whoa. You're going to like watch us really figure this out on the spot. 97% of our energy can now come from our solar panels. If we were to conserve a little bit more energy, we would 100% be off the grid. But is that not true because at night we're not using it? It has to, the energy has to be stored in a battery if at night we're using lights.
No, we're using the grid power. That's why, for example, solar power in and of itself isn't sufficient until battery power becomes, or battery capacity becomes better. It's not the best way to do it. So, and I might be slightly wrong, but I'm pretty sure the power that goes into the city gets used elsewhere.
So, gotcha. So it's net
instantaneous. It's
zero.
Way cheaper for them to give the power through solar while it's there,
gotcha,
than to pay for infrastructure for batteries. Luckily, where we live is like extremely green energy in the first place. Like I think maybe 70% of Ontario's energy grid comes from renewables. Is that
true? No, Ontario is one of the greenest places.
Yeah, there's so no coal being we burnt. Are still using that grid. And so that is perhaps a flaw in terms of even if people get solar power, you still need to be set up to the grid. Otherwise, when there wasn't sun, you wouldn't have power, or where there wasn't wind, you need like that those backup things.
So right? How come they can say that we're off the grid? Because what happens is during the day, we're giving so much more back to the grid that it nets zero.
Yeah, I mean, we are not off the grid because we live in a city and our house is still connected to the grid.
And we don't have a battery to store the
energy. And we don't have a battery. And people would be like off the grid when they're outside of a city and they actually either have battery capacity or just able to create their own needs and literally disconnect. But the city had to come to our house and install a new meter because when they, and most cities are like this, they install these meters that only read how much power is coming in. So they had to update meters. So anyone who has solar now, at least in Toronto, but I assume everywhere else in the world, has to get a new meter that can also calculate the power that's leaving the house.
And so they
that's
say
what they subsidize you with.
Yeah. And so they say because during the day you're giving so much more back to the grid that in the end you are net zero, because at night when they're giving us the lights to use at night, they're like, well, during the day you produced
you gave us,
a bunch
it's like
power.
The average house gives something like 20 kilowatt hours. I don't know.
Wow. I literally walked by my friend's the other day and like smacked that thing. I was like, this big old battery right here. It's like, nope, that's
no, that
just the
is
infrastructure.
A challenge, but I think that is where a lot of renewable technology is moving, is battery capacity is so key. If we can make amazing batteries that are efficient and cheap, then it's worth it to store the energy.
Yeah. Okay, so first we're going to explain what electricity is, and then we're going to explain how solar panels work, and then we're going to explain whether or not they're going to save us. And obviously the answer is no, because we were just like, we need lots of other things at night, we'd be screwed. So electricity is essentially the flow of electrons. If you can force electrons in, we're going to stick with DC current, direct current for now, in one direction, the flow of the electrons through something like a copper wire can turn a light bulb on. For example, a light bulb, it would be like an older light bulb because it changes to a new substance where the electrons actually start to slow down and collide and create light. But amazingly, we've made all these appliances where the flow of electrons is utilized to do whatever it is.
It blows my mind. Like, I don't think I've ever fully understood electricity, but then realizing, like, it literally, everything it's we're so doing right now, we have a light, crazy. We have a camera, we have mics, we have this box, we have laptops, tablets, like, the basis of all of them is the movement of electrons and that exist on atoms.
Yeah, and it's also just like, the climate crisis is an electricity crisis, like, the link between the knowledge of electricity is so important in the climate crisis. I feel like I was just like talking about the climate crisis forever, not fully understanding what electricity is. And then you start to learn, you're like, oh my God, it's just like we're burning fossil fuels to create steam, to move turbines that move batteries, to push electrons around so that we can all power our computer and phone. It's just like, it's crazy. You're like, what the hell systems are we living in? Like, they're amazing.
And also, but it's like, historically, what? How sort of new it is. Like, we live in, like, almost all of human existence didn't have electricity. There may have been at points rudimentary ideas and forms of it, but like, we tend to think of human existence in our own little bubble, but you go back not that far and it's like everything we interact with in our lives now is at the base of it electrical.
Also, everything. Imagine
I wake up, I brush my teeth with an electric toothbrush, I like have a shaver, I have a whatever, like I just, there's a TV, there's a toaster, there's a fridge,
the dildo,
everything we
the vibrator,
every light bulb, everything in our house, my phone, my whatever. It's just like, to think of a world without electricity is pretty wild.
Also, people before electricity, if you were like, so there's these things called electrons, like immediately they'd be like, what? You know what I mean? You'd be like, oh yeah, things are made of atoms. And in the middle of the atoms, there's protons and neutrons, and around them are electrons. We have to get into the quantum realm to really understand it. But those electrons in the outer shell, if you can move them in one direction, you can watch a TV show. They'd be like, what the hell are you even talking about? And like, why would you even want to watch a TV? Like, it's just like, we are just so...
And I'm going to be like, I also don't understand it fully.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? To think that we live in this time and I'm like, I kind of get like electricity and power, but then when you convert it into other elements
like a TV
sound
or sound like a speaker, like, a headphone
happening through this mic into this box, into a card that we put on our computer that we then edit and then we put on the internet, and it's sound in your ears.
Also
across the world,
when you're looking this up through people wires. Do not know how to explain it.
No,
like,
I know.
There's a really interesting moment where it's like, it's we can explain that electrons move in one direction and that creates electricity. But whenever there's like that moment where you have to try and understand how that movement of electrons, for example, creates a Netflix show that your eyes watch with, you're right, perfect sound that was filmed the day that it was filmed, people just like glance over it and they're like, well, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe to Engineer. Like, it's like, because yeah. It's like, there's obviously such a complexity there that is probably an electrical engineering degree is like what is required. Right. And that to me is fascinating. Like, people who get that, like, call us, message us, come on the show. Like, I'm like, I want to know how. Like, they'll be like, you know, through a lot of confusing science, the electrons essentially are programmed to the back of your TV. The back of your TV, like, knows based
through
on,
like, zeros and ones in terms of, like, the information is traveling so fast that it can explain to a tiny little square, of which there are thousands of them, which color
it should be. Like, which color it should be.
Oh my God.
Like, it's crazy. It's actually the most incredible thing in the world. So it's just like, okay, we need to
So stupid. No, I don't mean stupid. I just mean like, we're having this revelation, just being like, electricity is amazing. Is insane, but also hopefully everyone else can relate.
So if anyone asks you what is electricity, you say amazing. So okay, a solar panel, here we go. Okay, it's also such a visual thing that we're gonna do our best to explain it, but a solar panel in essence is made most of the time of silicone. Now, silicone is like, it's made from sand, it's like melted down, it's a semiconductor, and you add hydrogen to the silicone to sort of like get it to the right like kind of substance. But like, in theory, when you're looking at them, you can be like in your head, like, okay, there's a bunch of silicone. So what is needed is a gradient. Like, we're needing electrons to flow in one direction in order for electricity to occur. Like, we've just said that. So what they do,
it's a missed opportunity that One Direction didn't make a song about electricity.
You're right. And they should call, and they would have had a direct current line.
Yeah.
Like, we're not an alternating current type boy. We're directly to you. Direct current. Okay, whatever.
Anyway. Okay, stop pulling the mics. You're going to flip the table.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm pissed. I'll flip the table. So in the solar panel, there are two sides, essentially. And on one side, there'll be something that's part of the silicone that's quote unquote doped with something like phosphorus. And then on the other side, there'll be a part of the solar panel that's doped with something called boron.
Why is it called dope?
Because they call it doping because it's like you actually are just like adding this thing to the silicone. Almost like when you're doping, you're taking a drug. Weird. Like they dope it. There's an N and a P side. You can dope with other things, but like phosphorus and boron are common ones.
I had no idea that. I guess that word probably means something specific.
Yeah. It's so funny because a lot of time when they like show animations, they show like a needle like doping, like as if they're like injecting phosphorus. But it's like, okay, so then what happens is photons, which is the energy coming from the sun, hits these solar panels. And because of the phosphorus and the silicone and the boron and the silicone, electrons get pushed out of the boron and the phosphorus. Mm-hmm. But because of the gradient between those two semiconductors, all the electrons actually end up wanting to go to one side towards the phosphorus side.
Okay.
And then on the other side are these things called holes. Now, holes are very confusing. Holes essentially are places.
Not to confuse with the movie Holes.
Yeah, or like
great
a hole,
film.
Like your butthole. Not to be confused with your butthole. Holes are places where electrons can go. But essentially, the photons force electrons in one aspect of the solar panel and holes in the other.
Okay.
And then what electrons naturally want to do is fill in the holes. Now they want to go to the holes. Mm-hmm. And what solar panels are able to do is when those electrons are moving down to the hole, which is like the law, according to the laws of nature, what they want to do based on the physics, they capture them. Like, and when they're moving, they take that energy and that movement, and en masse, because this is happening so, like there's so many cells in a solar panel, en masse, you're getting a bunch of electrons moving in one direction that they harness as electricity.
I just don't understand who figured this out.
Exactly. Who the hell figured this out? And why are we not like, this is the, like anyone who thinks solar panels like aren't cool.
Why don't I know their name? Like,
yeah.
Maybe a lot of people do.
I think maybe like many people who like do. Do you think people like do?
Like, was their name Solar?
Yeah. Was it Lord?
That's really cool. I don't know that I ever fully understood that. And even now, I'm like, I still don't know if I do. But it's very cool that we can capture sunlight, which makes sense. You know, you feel it on your skin. You're like, this is energy.
Yeah, like this is obviously busting around some electrons. Like, I can see it busting around electrons on a solar panel.
It's obviously powerful.
Yeah.
So use it.
So the coolest... So that's sort of how electricity and solar panels like work. One of the most important things to know about solar panels is that their efficiency is increasing. So like when we think about fossil fuels, we have reached the limit of the efficiency of burning coal. We have reached the limit for the efficiency of fossil fuels. Like they're not a type of thing that we can get more out of them, like more energy, for example. We know how they work. We've been using them for years. They're ruining the environment. They're ruining our future like lives on this planet. We know that. When it comes to solar panels, wind energy, a lot of these green energies, what's so exciting is that their efficiency is increasing. They're not these things that have plateaued in any way. Like you said, with battery technology, we can figure out how to like store more energy. Like I was just reading about how they found this mineral perovskite, which is in Russia. And when they mix that with the silicon, all of a sudden they're getting these crazy efficiency numbers that they've never had before. So it's like solar panels are the ones on our roof in like 5 years, there's going to be even better versions of harnessing the energy. Whereas if we're thinking about fossil fuels, you're done, bud. You're cut. There's nowhere to go. There's no physical law of nature. There's no physics left to harness any more of this energy, which is another reason why we need to be switching over and learning more about these new renewable energies, because there's so much more potential, no pun intended, like potential energy.
Yeah. I mean, how do you suppose is the best way to go about this? Because obviously putting solar panels on our home was expensive. And I only say that because we're privileged and lucky enough to be able to afford
that. Yeah, we should talk about that.
And decided, you know, we want to do this. It'll make us feel good and we'll be happy and proud of it. But I would not expect most people to like want to necessarily upfront that. Like over the long run, we'll probably get money back over the like 25 years that they can last on a roof, assuming everything goes well. And you know what I mean? Like they don't get destroyed.
Like, let's explain that, the like financial aspect. So it is definitely not cheap. And the value that they have on our home right now, a justification, we paid for it flat out to put them on our home, was that if we ever tried to sell our home, it would increase our home's value by more than what they cost. So like, because technically someone moving into this home now,
right, has their energy paid
for. Wouldn't have to pay for energy.
Yeah, because we're like, you can also have them installed and pay like a monthly fee.
And it's kind of funny because in Toronto, if you think about the housing market, like that is a very enticing thing. Like you go, here's this house and there's no electricity bill because your solar panel, like you can see how the crazy way the housing market works, that could make your house go up so much more in value than what it costs. But the other way that you do it is kind of like a cell phone plan in Canada where
it's like a lease to own. Basically,
you pay it off every month for 25 years
with interest.
With interest, but that ends up being more than your electricity bill. So that was when I was kind of like, if you do it that way, you are fronting money for the environment. Like you are taking a cost for the environment. And I just, it's frustrating because it's like, it would be so sweet if it was cheaper.
There are, and obviously it's different all around the world, there are incentives to do this. We currently live in a place where the conservative government got rid of any incentive for green energy, including like buying a Tesla. The government here used to give you like $10,000 or $15,000 off. I think that's gone. So we did it at a time
retrofitting buildings to be green.
Yeah, but did this at a time where we didn't really get a crazy benefit from it. But there might be better times for other people when a different government's in power who will subsidize or give you money back if you install solar panels or have a like a electric vehicle, for example.
So this leads to political will. If you live in Canada, do not vote for the Conservative government. They are anti-science.
They literally changed it. It's crazy.
Yeah, they got rid of the incentives for people to have solar panels because they want to continue to extract oil because they're funded by fossil fuel companies. Like, it's very simple.
And they make it seem like, oh, well, this is free money we're giving away, but it's like the fossil fuel industry is already subsidized.
The agriculture industry,
there's already so much money in places. Like, even when you're comparing sort of like better for the environment foods versus like meat. So like meat alternatives or like milk alternatives, they're more expensive because they're not subsidized in the same way.
Yeah.
And it's not really an even playing field. And I understand, like, it's complex. It's happened over the course of decades. There might be reasons to support economies to keep those economies strong that they subsidize it. But it is sad when you see a government come in and try and add those subsidies and then another one come in and just roll ditch them when that's so clearly the future too.
Exactly. It's like, they not only are they not a conservative government or like a Republican government if you're American, and you can go, it's sadly just a weird division that exists across a lot of democracies. These more right-wing people who have more interest in like big companies, for example, or the fossil fuel industry, the fact that they came in and rolled back the work that the people before did to create green energy is like the most sadistic part. It's one thing to just like not do it, but it's another to roll it back. The fact that we are now paying more for solar panels on our house, and the solar panel companies are actually just like under the assumption that a government that isn't conservative becomes elected, you'll start to see more financial benefits for your solar panels. You might start to even make money off the grid if you produce more energy than you use. But they're like, we can't do that now.
If you make more energy than you consume. Right now, because of our conservative government, that's not the case. So we will only ever like break even for now until that, you know, law gets changed.
Yeah.
Or regulation gets changed.
It's crazy.
But like also, so one of the studies that I was looking into, or the study that I'll talk about, it's pretty brief, was just, you know, about the economy and about jobs. And there was like this mass review, a research paper that just looked into the effect that green energy will have on jobs, like mostly solar and wind. Because, you know, a lot of people say like, there's going to be so many jobs lost in the fossil fuel industry. Like, what is the impact of this?
Which is fair.
Which just is fair. Talk, and that is that. A real conversation that needs to happen. But basically they were looking at, if we try to stay well under this like 2 degrees Celsius temperature increase by investing in renewables, what will be the impact? And their main finding was that if we reach this, we would increase energy section jobs by net 8 million by 2050. So by 2050, there would be 8 million more jobs if we committed to the Paris Agreement global targets.
That is why.
And that was primarily due to solar and wind technology.
That's so interesting. And it makes sense. We have to build these things.
I'm absolutely terrified there's a storm outside.
There's a true.
Our solar panels definitely aren't working right now.
I hope they don't blow off. No, I'm kidding. They're really secured on. We're good. We love it.
But I am like, I can hear the wind. It's getting scary.
Yeah, it's ominous. But that is why the Green New Deal makes economic sense. I'm really like frustrated about this tension between like economics and like against the Green New Deal.
Well,
when you start to study what it is about, it is obviously about taking care of people who work in coal and taking care of people who work in the tar sands in Canada. And the way that you do that is you actually get them to start to work on these solar farms, to work on this wind energy, to help with hydro, which is like a big, huge part of the Ontario, for example, way that we get energy. And there's so many people, you can read all about them in Alberta, who are working in the tar sands, who are like, we would love that. I don't want to be working with the thing that I know is ruining my kids' future. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like it's just like these, it's not super, like, it's not as divided, I feel like,
from
the worker perspective, as it's being told to us from politicians and like big corporations.
I think it also just is the difference of long-term planning. It's similar to the pandemic, where it's like, obviously it costs money to put research and funding into vaccines, virus like spread, like prevention, like things that when you realize when it's too late and now there's a pandemic and it had we done, and even Canada, like they got rid of the vaccine facilities, so we couldn't even make our own vaccines.
Yeah, and now they're like, okay, I guess we'll make a vaccine facility. Yeah. We're like, yeah.
But of course, that like the reason it gets people get rid of it because they go, it costs money.
Yeah.
Yes, this may cost money up front. Of course, yes,
it will.
Developing new technologies, installing new technologies, training people to be in these sectors and in these industries costs money. But just like every day, it's like a new study comes out that's like, it'll save billions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like healthcare in the first place, where you look at the states and you're like, it actually costs people more money to not have a universal healthcare system. It costs their country more money. This is just like, yeah, it's interesting that it comes from the angle from some people of like the economic side of things, when it's like more and more, it's just overwhelming evidence that this is smart for your country.
And better economically, better to create jobs. But yes, maybe right now will cost more money. It's like about foresight. And I'm just thinking that with like the grid, if you're like when we're recording this in Louisiana, is still down. Like they don't have power. The infrastructure and cost that is going to take to fix all of that is insane. New York, like the cost of all of that flooding is insane. So there is all of these municipalities where your taxpaying money is now going to just get you back to where you were, as opposed to making things better.
It's literally the definition of a Band-Aid solution.
Exactly.
It's like, why don't you prevent the injury in the first place?
Yeah, and it is a little abstract to be like, preventing the injury is solar panels. It is wind energy. It is retrofitting houses to be more efficient. It is weaning ourselves off of fossil fuel. It is nuclear energy. It's all these things. But like, we're screaming. The scientists are screaming. Like, people are screaming. There's politicians who have brilliant Green New Deal plans that make sense. And it's just so frustrating because it just feels like there's so much political garbage that gets in the way of a very clear issue. And no longer am I going to allow an economics person to tell me otherwise based on what I've read. And I'm just like, explain to me how you're going to pay for all the damage from climate change. Like,
right.
Like, just explain to me that, because they're like, well, maybe.
Well, you have to understand there's vested interest that a lot of people aren't willing to disclose. Of course, people who run oil companies and oil rigs are like, yeah, I don't fucking care about the future. They're like, but I can make money right now.
I know.
Like, it's not always the same people. The people who are fighting and have power are often people with a ton of money, and that they're able to influence others. I do think you're right when you say, like, most average people want to not harm the environment. If they could snap their fingers and we'd be fully on renewable energy on a planet where we're not destroying the planet, would do it. But there are a lot of people with a lot of money and power invested to not have that happen.
Because I think about Canada a lot as like a horribly hypocritical country because of the tar sands. Like, I always try and think about that. Like, okay, if all of a sudden we just shut off the tar sands, that's a big chunk of our
like economy
that is now gone. But I'm like, okay, but we need to put a date in the future where we say they're done then.
Right.
And now we have to start creating the tent poles that make us get there in order to save money in the future from climate change that's going to affect Canada. Like, Germany's starting to do it with coal. They have some like really amazing like
plans
to get off of coal. I'm not gonna well see it, but like they're putting in the work to get it done, and that's a part of their political conversation, and people are now coming around to it. I'm like, in Canada we need to start talking about those dates. And when you see in our politicians right now, everyone's too afraid to say that because they're worried about getting votes in Alberta. They're worried about losing votes in Alberta.
But there's like, a lot of people whose jobs would be affected.
Yeah,
but that's why, like, it's important to make it clear. Well, there's two things. One, it is like, yes, if we could snap our fingers, we would do it. But I think a lot of people acknowledge, yes, let's make sure we're looking out for the people who will be negatively affected.
Exactly.
There are lots of people whose lives will be changed.
Yes. Yes. And how do you entice those people to keep their vote by securing jobs for them? And there's ways you can do that. There's people who have written and studied this and talked about plans. And I just like wonder if there's like a politician out there, the AOC of Canada, which we desperately need, who can like just like articulate this well.
Yeah, but even still, with someone like AOC, think of, that's one person in all of America. I know there's more than just her, but it's like, she can't get that much done on the country scale.
Yeah, I know.
But obviously she's a really important voice and someone that people look to.
Or Bernie.
And yeah, there are people who like really use them as figures to represent a movement. I mean, I've never, like, personally, it's become so apparent in my own day-to-day life, the impact of climate change more and more. It's like this summer, I saw the
storm hitting right now, and it's like, who knows? You know what I mean? Like, could flood Union Station.
Like, this summer, there was, like, three or four times where I was like, my lungs are actually affected because there was so much smoke, not only from Northern Ontario, but also from, like, literally the other side of the country blowing over here. The sun was, like, blood red. You could look at it with your eyes because it was so smoky. It's just like those things didn't happen. And I think more and more people are waking up.
Yeah, they are.
But it's just unfortunate because it's actually like 20 years ago, this was predicted.
Yeah.
I mean, more than 20 years, but even 20 years ago, they were going, you know, 2020, things are going to be a little worse. And then 2035, things are going to be worse. And by 2050, there's going to be 100 million climate refugees. And it's like, when will people actually be like, oh shit, those predictions are probably going to be pretty accurate.
The emotional aspect of people understanding climate change is so important, which is why I really feel like things are shifting because of that personal relationship to it. Like, I'm a North American, so I like get my media from North America, but it feels like every part of North America is affected, like, currently.
Mm-hmm.
We have these crazy fires in Northern Ontario that people probably don't even know about in America because they're too busy figuring out,
like, the California
what the hurricane
fires
just did to them,
the
fires are doing, like, to
a
the
drought
smoke.
And
it's just like, yeah, droughts, floods, like, everyone has their own relationship to an acute, very physical thing. That sadly is how humans work. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, I actually have a lot of hope right now because I feel like people can't deny
are sort
it.
Of
I'm
waking up. Like, yeah, it's like the Western world is starting to feel these implications.
Which
there are
so
the parts of the world that have been feeling it.
Yeah, they're like, but they're like, you guys are making all of the emissions of CO2. Yeah. So can y'all freaking get the hint? But I really, when we would go to LA, I was like, I could not believe the smoke and the haze throughout California when we traveled.
Like every day.
Like every day. And I was just like, this is so sad. I'm so happy to live.
When we first got there, I honestly was like, my lungs feel different.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm breathing in smoke every day.
It's wild. And you wake up in the morning and you're like, why is it feel like it's 4 p.m.?
Oh my God,
the door shut.
That scared me so much.
Oh my God. It's like Mother Nature's listening. It's like, you're on to me. I'm going to shut you.
Spooky. Oh my God. That's scary. Okay.
I saw it closing, but I was like, yeah, this is scary.
I should not okay.
Yeah, like you wake up in the morning in LA and you're like, is it a cloudy day? And it's like, no, by 1 p.m. the sun shines through. Like, that was just like smoke in the way. But I really was always so happy to live in Toronto where we don't have that. And then this summer, we had that. It looked like LA
There's
here.
There's literally a hurricane outside right now. Not literally. But I am like, what is happening?
It's a storm.
It's a storm. It's okay, storms are normal.
It's not a hurricane. Don't worry. And if it was, anyways, Toronto looks like LA now because there's forest fires everywhere. And I just didn't think that was like going to be a thing that happened in my life.
On a hopeful note, it does feel like more and more people are excited to be engaged in this as they can, as things become more efficient. I know we're like not fans of like Elon Musk, but at least like more and more people are excited about electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles. And I'm like, maybe they're not fast enough. Hopefully they're going to be faster, but changes to society that at least are becoming more widespread where we live.
Yes, and don't vote for the conservative government ever in Canada because they made it harder for us to get solar panels. But the solar panels that we have, I feel like with the financial situation we were in, we got to be on the precipice of it. And even doing it, like working with the people, I was like, they're learning more. Like, it's just going to become more normal. Everyone on our street was like so excited. They want to talk about how to do it. Like, there is a motivation there. Right now, there's a financial cost to putting them on your house. Not a huge one, but there is one. I think in the future, with properly elected officials, there will become an incentive to put solar panels on your house. And that's a future that I'm excited about. And I'm also just like happy to be on the precipice of it and help people even like understand that it is possible, even though I thought we had a battery on our home and we don't.
We're still learning ourselves. There's lots of cool stuff to happen, and it should, as we always say, it's not the responsibility of individuals. I do think it's cool that individuals can get excited and get involved, but ultimately we have to be like, there are bigger polluters than any of us combined, you know. I think I saw some, I'm not gonna say a stat,
carbon
today, it was like
tax.
Oh, was it? There's like X amount of, never mind. They compared it to like the UK, Germany, and whatever combined in terms of as much energy as they use. And there was like 20 plants that are doing more than that in terms of their fossil fuels. Yeah, I gotta look at my stats. I just saw it casually today and was like, that just made me think of that.
Yeah.
It's like, we gotta stick it to the man.
And we just have to stop burning fossil fuels. It's really simple. Mm. It honestly is. Okay, wow. Thank you all so much.
Was it an angry podcast?
Like, I think so. It always is when we're talking about like climate change. Like at a certain point, like I know I should have hope, but I'm angry.
Yeah.
I am angry.
Yeah, like more drastic change needs to happen. Yeah. And I think that is on the level of like government
and corporations.
Take that step.
Oh my God. Okay. Anyways, this is Side Note Podcast. You're going to hear more and more about this. We always end up talking about this, even when we're talking about like farts. We end up being like, farts is energy. And energy is like, did you know that we need to tax the rich in order to pay for a Green New Deal? But thank you so much for listening. Uh-huh. Look into solar panels in whichever area you live. There might be some epic, you know, funding, especially if you live in somewhere like Scandinavia, I assume.
But then they have like half the year where there's no light.
Yeah. And don't vote for the conservatives. Don't vote for Republicans. That's Greg saying that. So come for me if you want to.
Well, I'm saying that too.
Okay. Just making sure.
Vote conservative.
Oh my God. Don't edit that.
No, I'm not saying that. There was literally a conservative. There was like a viral thing in, I think it was in Toronto, because someone had a conservative sign and two Nazi flags outside of their house.
Oh my God.
There and you a go. Confederate flag. I was like, you're in the wrong country.
Yeah, seriously. And in the wrong existence and reality, yeah. Hun.
Goodbye.
Take a big nap.
Oh, thanks for listening.
Peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.